Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you to our study today. This will be our third study in the letter R, the fourth R in the ABCs of Christian Growth. Study number 18C, and we're studying and learning what the Scriptures say and what God's Word says concerning remission. Remission. Remission is an interesting thing. It's part of your salvation. It's an ingredient. Excuse me. It's an ingredient, one of the ingredients in your salvation that the Lord predestined to take place whenever you accepted Christ as your Savior and believed on Christ and His blood. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Remission is a part of your salvation that deals with blood, particularly the Son of God's blood. Remission is not mentioned in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. It's under the New Covenant. Remission could not take place in the Old Testament. Forgiveness could. And forgiveness, we've already discussed that under our definitions defining remission. But that remission is forgiveness, but it goes even farther than forgiveness. Forgiveness is God's mercy and comes from God's mercy and grace. Forgiveness, God forgives you and forgives you. But remission is what takes the sin debt and the sin consequences away. Remission is what does this. It's forgiveness and pardon. That is the giving up of the punishment due to the crime. You see, sin wouldn't mean anything if it didn't have a punishment behind it. You see, that's the problem with sin. You're dealing with a righteous, holy, just, super being, God Himself. And God doesn't tolerate sin at all, in any circumstance. I mean, He puts up with it, yes, but what I mean is it being in His presence. One person, if no human being in the world cares about being holy, there's one person that cares about being holy, and that's the Lord. And He's never going to compromise His holiness to forgive you or to pardon you or to remit your sins. He's never going to compromise His holiness to save you. He's not going to do it. He's already made the perfect plan and put the perfect plan and executed the perfect plan with His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's already done it. It's already taken place. It's over with and never to take place again. And you can partake of that if you like or if you do not like. One or the other. Your will is a free agent, and the Lord will not force you to accept His Son as your Savior and believe on His blood sacrifice. But you will have to be the one to try to talk God out of giving you the consequences for your sin. You see, sin wouldn't even, that's the problem with society nowadays and all this new generation and this new way of thinking and all this sort of business. They don't think God's going to give them some consequences for their sin. You see, Ecclesiastes says that's the reason sin just keeps on, men just keep on sinning, is because the consequences aren't executed speedily. In other words, you don't get what you deserve right away. But it's coming. And it's promised, and it's already been spoken in God's Word what it's going to be and how you're going to get it. And you can either choose to believe it and do something about it and believe the Lord and believe His Word, or you can just ignore it and go on about your way and find out later that there are consequences for sin. Sin wouldn't have any power if it didn't have any consequences behind it. Who cares? If I'm not going to get a whooping and God's not going to pay me back for my sins and there's not going to be any consequences for my sin, why should I care about not sinning? Sin on, man. But if there are consequences for your sin, and they are what the Scriptures teach, then there better be some kind of circumstances or some kind of plan to get out from under the consequences and the judgment of Almighty God. And that's what we're talking about. That's where remission comes in. Remission takes care of that problem. And it's part of God's wonderful, perfect plan that takes place when a person receives Christ as their Savior and is born again and is saved. That's why Jesus said in John, ye marvel not. Don't take this lightly. Don't you dare take this lightly. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Oh, why is he making that such a big deal? Why? What do you mean you must be born again? Jesus is the one that created. Jesus is the one that, I'm trying to think of the word. Jesus is the one that brought about the word itself, hell fire. Jesus is the one that spoke the most about hell and the punishment of hell and the eternal damnation, eternal, everlasting wrath of God. Jesus spoke about them things many times. He didn't hold back. He told you what was coming. And he said, you must be born again. Why? I mean, what's the big deal? What if I'm not born again? Consequences. Consequences to what? Your sin. Are you a sinner? Have you sinned? Remember what we read, if you trespass in James, remember what we read in James in chapter 2 and verse 10, it said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you tell one lie in your entire life. What's the Bible say the consequences are? He is guilty of all the law. That's how righteous God is. The only way you can impress God and you could go to heaven without shed blood and Jesus Christ's sacrifice is if you have never sinned until the day that you die. If you can make that and you can do that, you could go to heaven and be in God's presence. That's how Jesus didn't sin his entire life. And he's in God's presence. And deservedly so. He's not a sinner. He never sinned. Have you? I have. And way more than once. But remission is what takes care of all that for us. The Lord put it in the package of salvation, and it is administered and applied to your account whenever you accept Christ as your Savior. We talked about defining remission, if you remember. The act of remitting or that which is remitted. We talked about it being cancellation or discharge or annulment of a liability or debt. You owe God a debt and it's got to be paid. You have a liability because you're a sinner. And if you sinned one place, you're guilty of all. You're liable. And as the remission of the discharge or annulment of that liability or that debt, not just forgiveness, but your sin's got to have something done about it. The consequences have to be taken care of. Something has to override and overpower the consequences that God has pronounced and established for sin. You do this, you get this. You commit this, you're going to get this. That get this has got to be taken care of. God says, okay, I'll forgive you, but in the Old Testament, that consequence could not be completely and fully taken care of. because there was not a pure sacrifice of blood that could cover that, to where God could be propitious, favorable to men, and not only favorable to forgive, but favorable to eliminate the consequences that he set forth for their sin, that they committed, and was due to be dispatched to them. They were going to get it. But because of remission, and the new covenant, and the New Testament, under Jesus' blood, and the payment, the redemption that he offered to the Father, and the propitiation that was established to where the Father could be propitious towards sinners now, and he could not only forgive, but he could take the sins away and wipe them completely out of existence and cancel out, discharge, and annul the liability, the debt, the consequences that person was going to get, to pardon, to withhold punishment. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy that God brought this into salvation, because this is what takes away guilt. You don't have to feel guilty about your sin no more, the sins and that you got a whooping, or you got hell, or you got damnation, or you got the wrath of God coming to you because of your sin, like we did before when we were children of darkness and walked according to the prince of the power of the air, that the Bible says the spirit that the world operates under. The Lord bought us out of all that. When we believed on him, he brought us out of all that, and all this salvation package was predestined. When we got born again, all the package of salvation was opened up on your account, and all these things took place, and your sins were remitted, and the consequences, your sins were forgiven, and the consequences for your sins were remitted. Forgiveness, pardon, that is the giving up of the punishment due to the crime. God no longer wants to punish you, and he's not going to punish you, and he's not in the frame of mind of punishing you anymore. Your sins have been remitted. The consequences of your sin have been remitted. You've not only been forgiven your sins and the consequences that you were going to have to bear because of your sins have been remitted, and God's no longer in that frame of mind toward you. You're a son. You're in his family now. Isn't that wonderful? So we talked about all that. And then we talked about bringing remission into focus, and we discussed some of that. And we said that the way that the Lord put together all of the components of salvation through Christ Jesus is so beautiful and so perfect in every way. And it is. Forgiveness is the relationship between a merciful, kind, forgiving God and a person being forgiven. Remission is the relationship between a righteous, holy, judicial, everlasting God and the legalities of the person's sins being remitted. Remission is a judicial factor in your salvation. It's something in God's courtroom that takes place behind the scenes. It cancels out. You got the person sitting over there who says, well, we got his sin account here, Lord, and these are all the consequences that are supposed to be administered on this sinner. And the Lord said, he accepted my son. Remit them. Get rid of them. They no longer exist. He has no punishment coming, because Christ has paid his sin debt, and the righteousness of my son is upon him, and his sin debt is upon my son, and the past tense shed blood that paid for that. And it's all perfect. It's all perfectly took care of. Isn't that wonderful? You know, only God could come up with something like that. You think about if man was going to try to put together some kind of package to save mankind from a righteous God, which he's been trying to do for thousands and thousands of years. Man's tried to come up with all sorts of things to satisfy the wrath of God. I mean, that's why you got all these idols and all these false gods and all these doctrines that are in the world today that man has come up with. That's the bottom line of all of it, is getting out from under God giving you your punishment. I mean, there's even people that put themselves under extreme pain. I mean, I've seen one, I don't remember what religion it was or whatever it was. It was one of the Eastern religions where these guys would take these great big fish hooks and hook their flesh in their back, and then take the ropes that are hooked onto those fish hooks and hook them onto rocks, and they would drag them with their flesh. And all that blood and all that pain and all this dragging these rocks and all this sort of business was supposed to impress God to where he won't give them the whooping and the punishment coming to them. That's the way man thinks. And man tries to come up with this package that's going to impress God. And the Bible's already told us there is nothing that's going to impress God or withhold the consequences of your sin with exception of one. Ye must be born again. And it's got, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, how can that get any... That's not confusion in any way. Anyway, anybody hears that can understand that. A 5-year-old child can give you the definition of what that means. I could read that verse to a 5-year-old child, and she or he could pretty well put that in context and make it clear to you what that means. But you got people that won't accept that because they love their sin. I don't care what God thinks. I don't care about God's punishment. I had a guy tell me, I got a tract that I put out, and I remember a guy when I was running a ministry up in the north for about 10 years and overseeing it, and there was one guy that come through there, and it was for troubled men. There was one guy that come through there. And he told me one time that he told God, and he meant it with all his heart, and he's dead now. He overdosed, and I think he was saved, and if he was, he's in heaven with the Lord, and hopefully they got things worked out. I'm sure they do. I'm sure he got his thinking worked out anyway. But if he ain't, he's in hell. But he said, told me one time, he looked up to God, and he said, come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out. Yeah. Come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out. But you know what happened? The Lord decided, instead of coming down, he'd just go ahead and bring him up. You better watch out when you're messing with a holy God. Consequences. Remission. Today we're going to talk about something, another category having to do with remission, and that is things remission is based upon. What solidifies remission? What makes remission work? Well, the first thing is that what's the base of it? What's the foundation of remission? How come it can take place? How come God can remove the consequences of your sin? Well, the first thing is it's based upon faith in Christ's shed blood. That's what the Bible says. And that's what we're interested in knowing, is what saith the Lord. Not what the Bible is proposed to say, and what people say it might say, and all this sort of business. What does the Bible say? And that's what we're interested in. In Matthew chapter 26, and verse 27 and 28, the Bible says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Remission, and the fact that God, being a holy, just God, can remove the consequences of a sinner's punishment coming to him, remit his sins, and remit the consequences, is based upon the shed blood of Christ. That's what Christ said. This was just a night before he went to the cross. He was talking to all the apostles, and they were all sitting up in the upper room, and all of them were together, and it was the last night they were going to be together until he rose from the dead, and he was fixing to go suffer. And this was one of the things that he was instituting, one of the ordinances that he was instituting, and he was doing, and it had to do with the Last Supper. He used bread to represent and symbolize what was fixing to happen in his body. It was fixing to be broken open. And then this drink, which was the fruit of the vine, that represented his shed blood that was fixing, he was fixing to spill from right there in front of the priest where it began all the way to the cross. His broken body and his shed blood, which represent his death until he come. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood. Now, we know that wasn't his blood. It was grape juice. It was the fruit of the vine. Okay? Because he had just squeezed it out and in the cup. All right? For this is my blood of the New Testament. Not the Old Testament. The New Testament. My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Whoever will believe on me, this new covenant, this new thing I'm making, which is shed for many, for what? For the remission of sins. Your sins don't have any power. I mean, God don't have any power against a sinner if there's no consequences to their sins. I mean, God can say, you sinned. But the sinner, and there's many, many, wide is the way that leads to destruction. There's more people going to die and go to hell because they didn't believe God's word about consequences to their sin. And they didn't believe on Christ to get their sins remitted. Therefore, they're going to get the consequences. But the ones that come to Christ, Christ's blood is a base for remission. God can now not only forgive, not only take away the sins, but remit the consequences. You're not going to get it anymore. You're off the hook. Not only off the hook, but he took the hook out of the way. There is no more hook. Isn't that wonderful? Things remission is based upon. Well, it's based upon faith and Christ shed blood. There's another scripture in Romans chapter 3. Let me read it to you. Chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Remission of sins is based on the shed blood, faith in Christ's blood. Faith in Christ's blood. That's why he went to the cross, was to have that the blood, God's blood, spilled. That's what they did in the Old Testament. The first thing, when you'd bring a sacrifice in the Old Testament, he'd slice that thing's throat and spill that blood and spill it into a cup to sprinkle it in places. And that paid for the sinner's sins or got forgiveness for him. But in the New Testament, you're talking about God's blood that was spilled. And when Jesus offered that redemption to the Father, and the Father accepted it, which is propitiation. The Lord accepted it. It was good enough. It was the right kind of salvation, sacrifice and redemption. And the Lord completely was favorable toward what Christ offered him, himself. And he accepted it, and he put it into play. And said, okay, anybody comes through you, gets forgiveness and remission of sins. It's based upon faith in Christ's shed blood. Not on Mother Mary, not on Buddha, not on Muhammad, not on any of the other ones, anybody you can come up with. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he said that before he went and made that sacrifice himself, his blood. So that's not all. What else is a basis? Things remission is based upon? Well, it's based upon being through Christ's name and believing on him. There's a lot. The Bible says that devils believe and they tremble. The devils know that God is. But believing on Christ and believing on Christ's name. Now, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible say Christ's name and believing on him? Yes, it does. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, it says to give to him, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. It don't get no plainer than that. What's the basis for remission? Things remission is based upon? Well, it's based upon Christ's shed blood, and it's based upon believing through Christ's name and believing in him. Believing on his name. What does it say? It says to give all the prophets witness, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever, that's you, me, whosoever, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Based upon being through Christ's name and believing in him. You try to stand before God and say, well, I believed in Muhammad. I believed in Buddha. I believed in Confucius. I believed in Mary. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. The Lord's not going to accept that. And you're in trouble. Acts chapter 13 and verse 38 and 39, the Bible says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus was a man, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses, the Old Testament. That's what we've been talking about. You see that? You see that thing? Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, through his name, and believing in him, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. I mean, God's not going to contradict himself. He's not going to call somebody righteous that their sins have not been remitted. He's not going to call somebody righteous that his wrath is still upon. You see that thing? But through the name and believing on Jesus Christ, the scripture says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You want to be forgiven? And by him, all that believe, if you do what the Bible says and come to the Lord, the way the scriptures say, through Jesus, and by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's why it's called the Old Testament. And that's why the Lord said there's a better and a new testament. He put away the old so that the new could be enforced. You see that? You see that? I mean, he didn't put it away, but the Old Testament is still valid, and it's still got power, because the letter killeth. You die without Jesus Christ, and that law is going to get you. Yeah. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Have you committed any of that? Then you need somebody that's got the power to get your sins forgiven, and not only that, but get you out from under the consequences of your sin with God. Remit your sins. Get you remission. And the Bible says, through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Not a little bit, not this and not that. All things. Everything. All things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So what are we talking about? Things remission is based upon. It's based upon faith in Christ's shed blood. And it's based upon being through Christ's name and believing in him. What else? Well, I read that. Acts. I read Acts to you, didn't I? No, I did. Yes, I did. Okay, what else? Well, being through Christ's name and believing in him, and another thing... remission is based upon repentance. There is worldly sorrow and there's godly sorrow. The Bible says it and makes it very clear. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 46 and 47, it says this, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance. Confessing that God is right and you are wrong, and that you need a Savior, and you're a sinner, and that you need your sins to be taken care of, and you need a Savior. Changing your mind and going the other direction. There's a lot of people not going to do that. The Lord said, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. the majority of people on earth are going to go to hell. And I didn't make that way. They make it that way because they are not going to repent and believe on Christ and change their mind and admit that God is right and they are wrong. They're not going to do it. They're going to go on trying to figure out how to impress God with their righteousness some way, somehow, during their lifetime. They're going to come up with something. But it's not going to work. The Lord has already said that. He's established that. It's been preached. It's in His Word. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's based upon repentance. Things that remission is based upon. It's based upon faith in Christ's shed blood. It's based upon being through Christ's name and believing in Him. And it's based upon repentance. Remission. Remission. All right. Well, let's talk about something else. What about the significance and the importance of remission? Why is it important? Why is it significant? Well, it shows God's righteousness. It shows that God is really and truly God Himself. It shows His integrity. It shows His righteousness. Listen, I just ain't going to take just any old thing. I can't just take any old thing to make this work. Mary is not going to cover what needs to be done. She can't get your sins taken away and the consequences of your sin. Anybody that's trying to go through Mary, Mother Mary, to get their sins off of them and get God to where He's not going to pay you for your sins. Anybody's trying to do that, you're going to be sorely surprised. Mary was a sinner. She had to go, when she had Jesus, she had to go offer sacrifices for her impurities. Did you get that? She was a sinner. How's she going to take care of your sins? She can't. Muhammad can't. Buddha can't. I mean, they might have some wisdom and they got some good some words and write them down in a book and all this sort of business and stuff like that. But you're talking about a righteous God. God is very serious about His righteousness. What is righteousness? Right. God is righteous. Everything about Him is right and correct. He does not tolerate any kind of unrighteousness at all. He is 100% pure righteousness. And the significance and the importance of remission is it shows God's righteousness. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 through 25, listen to this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? His righteousness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. Whose? Jesus' righteousness. He never sinned. His righteousness is pure like the Father's is. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. You try to come to God with your righteousness in your hands and try to impress God with your righteousness, the things that you did right during your lifetime, it's not going to work. Why? Because it's not pure. You're a sinner. You have a sin nature. You're under a curse. You have a sin nature. And unless you come to God with a 100% pure, righteous life, it's not going to work. You need somebody else's righteousness. And why does Jesus's work and yours doesn't? Because Jesus never sinned. His righteousness, doing right and the right things, and doing the things that are pleasing before his Father, are pure. There's not one flaw in it. And when you get born again and you believe on Christ, Christ's righteousness is applied to your account. And when you come before God, God sees Christ's righteousness upon you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Listen to this. To declare his righteousness. That's what you want standing up for you when you come before God. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Not your righteousness. Your righteousness is not going to dismiss the consequences of your sin. Not your righteousness. Not my righteousness. We have no righteousness. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what God says about our righteousness. He said, man weighed in the balance is altogether vanity. All of our good stuff that we try to do, because of what God knows about us, and that we think that God doesn't know about us, all of our righteousness weighed in the balance is altogether vanity. Yeah. So, the significance and the importance of remission is that it shows God's righteousness. That's beautiful. What else? Well, it makes salvation real. It makes salvation real. Because what good is salvation if it doesn't take away the consequences of your sins? What good is salvation if it doesn't remit your sins? I mean, God would forgive in the Old Testament, but they still had to walk the walk. And they had to die in a certain circumstance. In Luke chapter 16, two men died. One of them was a rich man, and in the Old Testament, when it talks about rich people and poor people, a lot of times it's referring to righteous and unrighteous, righteous people and sinners and stuff like that. That's not the case in the New Testament. We'll get into that on some other studies, but there was a rich man that fared sumptuously every day, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, and there was a beggar that sat at his gate begging, Lazarus, and both of them died. And one of them went to hell, and one of them went to paradise. And it had to do with the way that they died. One died in a righteous state, and one died in an unrighteous state, a sinful state. And that determined where they went. That's not New Testament doctrine. It changed. You see, and you want Christ's righteousness on you. That's why Christ went to the cross, to make his righteousness available for sinners. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. It makes salvation real. The significance of remission and the importance of remission is that it shows God's righteousness and it makes salvation real. What else? Well, it's something that needs to be preached. An importance of remission is that it needs to be preached. And you don't hear people, preachers in the pulpit anymore saying stuff like, hey, how you going to keep God from putting you in hell? How you going to keep God from putting you in the lake of fire? Huh? How you going to do that? Do you know something? If you leave this church and you go home and you die this afternoon and you don't die in Jesus Christ, God's going to put you in hell. That's the consequence of your sins. And they don't preach consequences anymore. And people don't believe they need remission. That God's going to somehow, they're going to have a little talk with God when they die, and they're going to stand there and they're going to have a little discussion, and God's going to give them a break. That's not how it's going to come about. They're not even going to see God when they die. If you die without Jesus Christ, you go straight into hell. Straight into hell. To stay there. And if you listen to this and you're not saved, you better take this seriously, because this remission thing is not a joke. You need the consequences of your sin to be remitted. And the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ and believing on something that He's already done and that's already taken place over 2,000 years ago. Jesus came and died for your sins, shed His blood, was buried 3 nights and 3 days, and then rose from the dead and ascended back to the Father. Not for His that something that He had to do for Himself. He didn't have any problems. He was holy. He was God in the flesh. And His blood was God's blood. And He came to die for us, for sinners. And if you'll believe that, and you'll believe what the Scripture says, and you'll repent, and you'll call upon Jesus to save you, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Have you heard the gospel? Yes, you have. I just told it to you. Will you believe that? Will you exercise faith and call upon God's name and ask Him to save you through Jesus' blood? Through Jesus, you come to God and you say, I've heard what the gospel says. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and I want to be saved. Lord, would you save me, please? Have you done that? Would you do it? If you will, God will save you. And that's all there is to it. That is it. That's why all these scholars and scientists and everybody else and all these philosophers and all these smart people in the world and educated people in the world, it blows their stinking minds. They can't understand how God can just, you call upon God to save you on the basis of His Son's blood and you get saved for eternity and all's well. That's what the Bible says. And if you'll do that, God will save you. And He will remit your sins and take the consequences of your sins and put them away. And you'll never have to worry about that again. And you don't have to, you won't have to carry the guilt of knowing that you're going to stand before a holy, righteous God one day. And you better be prepared. And it needs to be preached. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, let me read this to you. Then opened He their understanding. This is Jesus when He's sitting at the table with these two fellows on the road to Emmaus. They invited Him to stay in their house that night, and they didn't recognize who He was. And He had just been crucified, and they were talking to Him about it, and He was talking to them about the law and everything else. And they invited Him to stay the night, and while they were sitting at the table, then the Bible says that then He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. I think this was the apostles He was talking to. But either way, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the significance and the importance of remission. Don't die in your sins, friends. And if you are saved, you're saved. That's exactly what that means. If you are saved, you are saved. You have been saved. Saved from what? Saved from the consequences of the transgression of God's law. They have been remitted. The remission of sins. Isn't that beautiful? It must be preached. Not only does it show God's righteousness and it makes salvation real, it must be preached. And what else? Well, without it, remission of one, that is the remission of one's sins, one will be fully responsible for their own sins, prosecuted, and punishment carried out by God's perfect law without mercy. You say, that's pretty important, and that's pretty significant. You better believe it is. The significance and the importance of remission is that it shows God's righteousness, that he just ain't going to let anybody do any old thing just any old way. I mean, you look in the Old Testament, you see many, many times when the Lord made a statement or said something, he'd follow it up with, I am the Lord. It shows God's righteousness. It makes salvation real. It's something that needs to be preached. Does your preacher preach about your sins and the consequences of your sin? Have you heard him say anything about that? He should be. And another thing is that without remission of one's sins, without it, one will be fully responsible for their own sins. They will be prosecuted and punishment carried out by God's perfect law without mercy. You say, that's pretty scary, Brother TV. Yeah, but not to a saved person. The Lord made it very, very simple to have all this stuff, all your sins remitted. A 5-year-old can come to Christ and have all of their sins for the rest of their existence in the body forgiven and remitted and the consequences of their sin wiped away. A 5-year-old. That's the simplicity of Christ. The simplicity of Christ. Concerning this part that we just talked about, without remission of one's sins, one will be fully responsible for their sins, prosecuted, and punishment carried out, no remission, punishment carried out by God's perfect law without mercy, no mercy. Where does it say that? Well, let's look at some scriptures. In the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 34 and verse 7, it says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Now, this is Old Testament, but the principle and the doctrine is still there. Your sins are very important, and the consequences of those sins are very, very important. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but, and by no means, clearing the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Sure, God will forgive you, but you got to get your guilt cleared. How you going to do that? How you going to get the consequences of your sin taken away, remitted? How you going to do that? Because God's not going to clear the guilty. You've got to become not guilty. And the only way you can be not guilty is to be righteous before a holy God. Can you do that? You can through Jesus, because Jesus' righteousness is good enough that the Father accepted it, and it made him propitious and favorable towards sinners, and still does, and always will. But there are those that won't come to Jesus or through Jesus. And like we said before, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are you looking for the way? Are you looking for truth? What's the truth? I want my sins taken care of. I want my sins remitted. I don't want to get the consequences for my sin. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You want life? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33, the Bible says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. He's talking to the right. He's talking to the priests. He's talking to the religious people in Jerusalem. All the people that were supposed to be the ones that handled the Bible, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the ones that all the people looked up to because they were the religious ones. You know what Jesus said? Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? I mean, without it, without remission of one sin, Jesus didn't say, how can you escape forgiveness? How can you escape this? He's talking about, how can you escape the consequences of your sins? How can you escape the damnation of hell? And call them serpents and vipers. I mean, no mercy. Jesus didn't say, well, we'll talk about it, and you can talk about it with my Heavenly Father. No, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, when you die, how can you escape the damnation of hell? My father is going to punish you, the consequences. You're going to hell. And you're going to be damned. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's His language. Oh, this lovey-dovey Jesus, can't wait to give you a warm fuzzy and a hug and a kiss and just sitting up there just waiting on any chance he can get to give everybody a nice warm fuzzy kiss. People better read that Bible again and find out who Jesus really is. Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can ye escape? Escape what? The consequences of your sins. How can you escape? He's asking a valid question. How can you escape the damnation of hell? What is the damnation of hell? The consequences of their sins. That the law is going to condemn them, and if they die in that state, woe unto you. Here's another one, John 3:36. Listen to what the Bible says. He that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, past tense, everlasting. He that believeth on the Son hath, right now. It is a possession, right now. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. What's the wrath of God? The consequences of your sin. Is it getting plainer than that? What are we talking about? We're talking about the significance and the importance of remission. It shows God's righteousness. that makes salvation real. It's got to be preached. And, sorry about that. And without it, without what? Without the remission of one's sins, one will be fully responsible. That's what Jesus was telling those serpents and those vipers, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He told them, how can you escape the damnation of hell? One's going to be fully responsible for their sins, prosecuted, and punishment carried out by God's perfect law without mercy. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's what the Bible says. So you see the importance of this remission, this ingredient in your salvation that was predestined to take place when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, this remission, the remitting of your sins, the putting away of the consequences of your sins, took place at the very second of your salvation when you received Christ. And the Lord, the God, the Holy Ghost came and indwelled you, and all of these different aspects of salvation come to pass. John 3:36, we read. John 12:48, listen to this. He that rejecteth me, Jesus talking, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. What are we talking about right now? What are we discussing? What are we studying? God's words. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. How do you reject Christ? You receive not his words. What words? The words we're talking about right now. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You see the significance and the importance of that? A lot of people snuff at that Bible. A lot of people say the Bible's not real. It's a fairy tale. It's just blah, 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 blah. Blobbity, blobbity, blah, 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 Bible, Bible, Bible. And they scoff at it. And they mock it. And Jesus said, that's okay. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus covered all the bases. John chapter 12, verse 48 says, he that rejecteth me, I just read that, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. It was Romans that I'm looking for. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 through 32, listen to this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, God's truth is here. The Bible, God's written word, is here. You can know what God thinks and God's mind and God's thinking if you want to. But men hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest unto them. Nobody's got any excuses. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Remember what we said? You think you're going to stand before God and try to have a conversation with him and explain why your sin should be, the consequences of your sin should be taken away and all, you should be remitted on the basis of this and that. God's already told you what the basis is. His Son. and you're going to be without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to a corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. There's where you get all this LBQRSTUV and all this stuff coming in, and all this nonsense and this filthiness and nastiness that's going on in humanity now. Who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their, in case you didn't understand that, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Women with women. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense, the payback, the rewards of their error, which was meet, which they deserved. And even as they did not, here it is, and this is the problem with man, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, don't talk to me about God, I don't want to hear nothing about God or the Bible, are you talking to me about the Bible, I don't want to hear about the Bible. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing, listen to this now, listen, who knowing the judgment of God, you can pretend all you want to, but you know what the consequences are. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the significance and the importance of remission. It shows God's righteousness. It makes salvation real. It's got to be preached. All this pussyfooting around and preachers telling everybody how all these warm fuzzies and how God loves you and He would never hurt a hair on you. He knows every hair on your head. He wouldn't dare hurt you. And not ever mention the consequences and the importance of remission. What's remission? Getting the consequences of your sins taken out, stopped, abated, annulled. You're not responsible for them anymore. Jesus has taken them. And the importance of that. And without it, without remission, one's going to be fully responsible for their sins. You heard what the scripture said just now. We read it. Who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. fully responsible for their sins. They're going to be prosecuted. How can you escape, you generation of vipers? The damnation of hell. Fully prosecuted and punished, punishment carried out by God's perfect law, and it's going to be without mercy. You don't even get to, you're talking about 10 years, even somebody gets sentenced to death, they get 10 years to, come back and try to make, an appeal. You get all these appeals. You get to appeal. You don't appeal nothing when you're condemned of God. No mercy. If you die without Jesus Christ, no mercy. That's what the Bible says, folks. That's what it says. What else? Well, we read, we read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. Now, let me read you this. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. The Bible doesn't teach you're not supposed to judge. It teaches you that you're not supposed to judge things that you commit. You're supposed to straighten yourself up before you try to straighten somebody else up. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after the hardness and impenitent heart, you won't repent, impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Jesus is the one that takes all that away. Without Christ, all of that applies to you. Without Christ, you're responsible for your sins. And you will be judged for it, and you will be punished, prosecuted, and you will be punished. Punishment will be carried out. There won't be any discussion about it anymore. And God's perfect law is going to apply without mercy. Without mercy. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? Saved from wrath through him. The Bible gives you warnings about God's wrath, even talking about your salvation. It says, much more then, being justified by his blood, you're saved, you're justified, you have Christ's righteousness on you, we shall be saved from wrath through him. They still talk about the wrath and the judgment of God that's coming and the consequences of people's sins. Even after you're saved, you're not ever going to experience God's wrath. You're his son. You're in his family. But you're saved from wrath through him, Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7, let no man deceive you with vain words. Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Mary. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Look how many times the Bible is saying what you've been saved from, man. Your sins have been remitted. What does that mean? You've been saved from the wrath to come. The remission is what took care of that for you. You see the importance of that? Now, what are we talking about? That's what we're talking about, the importance and significance of remission. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, or wait a minute, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, read that to you. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God don't want you under his wrath. But if you want to be, then you will be. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? This ain't no joke. Remission is not a joke. Having your sins remitted and the consequences of your sins remitted is not a joke. Hell is not a joke in the Bible. Wrath is not a joke in the Bible. Never spoken of as a joke. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10 and 11, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Of course, we know that's talking about tribulation people and the consequences that's going to be upon them if they take that mark and they follow the beast. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the significance and the importance of remission. It shows God's righteousness and it makes salvation real, and it's got to be preached by people and by preachers, and they need to quit pussyfooting around and tell people the truth. And without it, without remission of one's sins, one will be fully responsible for their sins. They'll be prosecuted and punishment carried out by God's perfect law without mercy. Without mercy. Well, that's it, brothers and sisters. We're going to stop right there. We're going to come back on another lesson and finish this thing up. Remission, wow. Very, very important, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful what the Lord has done for us? Think about that all your sins and the consequences of your sins, you're not only forgiven through Jesus and his shed blood. When you came to Jesus, you were forgiven. But also that your sins and the legalities of your sins and the judicial things that needed to be in place were put in place and were predestined, that when you came to Jesus, all of your sins and the consequences of your sins were remitted. You have no more sins or consequences or wrath of God or or God's anger and his wrath and his vengeance over your sins is not there anymore. You're a son of God, and you're in the family of God, and you are accepted in the beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Praise his wonderful name, what the Lord's done for us. Well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures, quite a few today, and that's okay because we love God's word. You ready? Here they are. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27 and 28, where we began today. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 47. And then Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 25. Luke chapter 1, verse 76 through 79. Let me make sure I'm telling you the truth now. Okay, yep. And Luke chapter 24, verse 45 through 48. Then we have Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 12, verse 48. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Just a few more here. Revelation chapter 14, verse 10 and 11. And the last one for today is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Went a little long today, but who cares? What a wonderful thing. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We have such a good time around God's word. And everything we talked about is truth today. What saith the Lord? What does God's word say? And everything that we talked about, you got all the scriptures. I didn't tell you what I think, even though that's what I think is what God's word says. But we discuss what God's word says concerning this matter of remission. And what did we talk about today? We talked about things remission is based upon. And then we also talked about the significance and the importance of remission. Okay? All right, my brothers and sisters, praise the Lord for remission. Praise the Lord for the Bible making it clear of what remission is and how it has taken place and why it's taken place and what the results are in our relationship with the Lord because of remission. We're going to come together again on this last one. This next one will be our last one. And we'll talk about that Jesus Christ is the answer for remission of sin. And we already know that, but we're going to look at some scripture and nail this thing all the way down. Okay? All right. Well, the Lord bless you, my brothers and sisters, and God bless you for honoring the Lord, and God bless you for honoring His Word. Don't take that lightly. The Lord, it matters to the Lord, and He's pleased. It pleases the Lord, and you do the things that are pleasing before the Lord when we study His Word, because we're commanded to. And He loves us because we do it from our heart. The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.